All right, praise the good Lord on this March of 29th, year of our Lord. And I'd like to say, first of all, that I'm glad I know that I'm good to go.
Amen.
I mean, such a time of uncertainty when men's hearts are troubled, trouble on every hand, people wondering how bad it's going to get, and I guess I could put myself included in that number. I don't know even myself how bad it's going to get, but we want to go to God in prayer, and then we'll have Sunday school lesson this morning. Father, we humble our hearts before you this morning. Confess, Lord, how unworthy we are, Lord, to be here even today. Lord, we have no boast in ourselves. Lord, we only have praise for you. Lord, through these lips of clay, Lord, we confess that, Lord, we've been forgiven. We've been pardoned. We've been saved. And we're thankful, Lord. And Lord, we want to give honor and glory to you every opportunity that affords itself. Lord, we want to sing songs. We want to praise and tell others about your great love, your great mercy, your compassion that fail not. And Lord, we're miserable comforters, but we try to comfort. We try to encourage. We try to provoke. Lord, nobody here this morning but me and Brother Ed and an innumerable amount of angels, Lord, that are attending this service, Lord, this morning. We're thankful, Lord, to be able to record it, to be able to send it out, Lord, to those that may have an ear for the Word of God and a heart. Oh, Lord, for the Word of God, we want to be able, Lord, to send it out like an arrow shot from a bow that it might find the target. And we pray your blessings upon our efforts today. We give you praise and glory today. And we ask all these things in the blessed name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Before I start our Sunday school lesson this morning, which will be in Proverbs, I believe we start this morning, Proverbs chapter 16. And I want to read another excerpt from this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity, by John Myers. And we want to read this morning one positive. And right before we preach, we're going to read another one. And it will be tended along the lines of the negative. But on the positive side this morning, it's titled, A Young Woman Looks into Eternity. One of the predecessors, thank you, Lord. One of the predecessors of my last pastorate was Reverend A.D. Sanborn, who related the following incident. He was president of a school at Wilton, Iowa, and while going back and forth to his school, would usually stop for a few moments of conversation with a devoted young Christian woman who was seriously ill. One morning, he found the family gathered at her bedside. She was bolstering up in nearly a sitting position and was intently looking off into the distance. She seemed to see a glorious city, for she said, "Now, just as they open the gate, I will go in. They will be here very soon now." And as she looked, her eyes just danced. Suddenly she leaned her head forward with a happy, eager expression. There, they're coming now, and I shall go. Then she sank back upon her pillow with a disappointed look and exclaimed, "They have let little Mamie in ahead of me." Then she added, "But next time they'll let me in. Pretty soon they will open the gate again and I will go in." Still gazing eagerly and expectantly into space, she lay quietly for a few minutes. Then staring up with head leaning forwards and eyes straining to see, she exclaimed, There, they're going to open the gate. Now I shall go in." Again, however, she sank back on the pillow in sore disappointment. "They let Grandpa in ahead of me." But next time I will go in for sure. They will be back pretty soon. She kept looking far away and talking. No one spoke to her, and she said nothing to anyone in particular. She seemed to see nothing save the sights of the beautiful city. Dr. Sanborn could not remain from his duties longer and quietly left the house. Later in the day, he learned that as soon as he had left, she had died. Just as he had seen her, so full of eager expectancy and waiting for the gate to open and give her entrance into the beautiful city. The scenes of that morning made a profound impression upon Dr. Sanborn. And a few days later, after the funeral, he called at the house to inquire who it was that the dying girl had called Little Mamie. They replied that she was a little girl who lived near them at one time. She had later moved to a town in New York. To his question, who was Grandpa? They replied that he was an old friend of the young lady and that he had moved to some place in Southwest. They gave the name of the place. All of the circumstances had made such an impression upon Dr. Sanborn that he at once wrote to each of the postmasters in the places referring to, asking for information on these people. One day in the same mail, he received letters from the two postmasters replying to his questions. Both letters were worded very much alike, and in each instance stated that the person referred to had lived there but had died on the morning of September the 16th, naming the hour. This proved to be the very time when he witnessed the affecting deathbed scene. And the child of God between death and the resurrection was recorded by this doctor right here. He had heard her describe what she saw, and by putting forth some effort, found out that it was exactly like she had said, and no one knew but her, and she had looked into eternity. That's one of the positive ones we read today. Yeah. This, the Bible says we see in part and we know in part,
right.
But then face to face. We just don't know all, and we just don't see all, and sometimes we don't see other than what we want to see anything at all.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right. Amen.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I couldn't get myself lost and I couldn't get myself saved.
That's right.
God got me good and lost. Then God got me good and saved.
Hey,
it's not like anybody can add anything to it. Just like farmers in the spring of the year go out and ear the ground. And they prepare the ground to sow the seed.
Yes.
And as they get it ready and go sow the seed, they find out that with the rain and with the time, the seed comes up and brings forth the fruit. Well, this verse right here, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God plowed upon my heart and sowed the good seed of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And not only did he sow it, but praise God, he saw to it it got watered. I believe it was Paul in 1 Corinthians that said, one soweth and one watereth, but God giveth the increase.
Amen.
And that's pretty much kind of what this verse is talking about here. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, come on, Eddie. I'm right here on it.
Mm.
Well, Lordy, Lordy. One soweth, one watereth, but God giveth the increase. I'm right here on it, and I still can't. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. Maybe I'm in the wrong one here. That's it. It's in 1 Corinthians. That's why I say more Bible here my little pea brain can handle. But one soweth and one watereth, and God giveth the increase.
Yes.
It's the division right here in 1 Corinthians. And one says I'm of Paul, one says I'm Apollos, and I Cephas, and one I'm Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you. But Crispus and Gaius, let any of you say that I baptized in my own name. I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides that, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and with wisdom of words, not with wisdom of words, lest the gospel of Christ should be made of none effect. Let's see here. Found it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Amen.
So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. But he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Thank you, Lord. All right, this verse here. God prepares a heart. My dad, when I got saved, April 27, 1988, my father was a lost man, hard-hearted, stubborn. I was just like him, but he had not allowed me to be as stubborn as he was because he was my father. If I'd been as stubborn as he was, I took his place. I was stubborn and hard-hearted, hard-headed, but he had a level above me. Because he was truly the head of our house. But I mean, he was a man's man. He didn't take nothing off nobody. But anyway, when I got saved, I started praying for my dad and fasting for my dad. And I lost 40 pounds fasting for my dad. Mm. And I never let up. I mean, I just kept fasting and praying for my dad. And I got a little bit impatient. Now, realizing this verse right here, and if you'll stop and think about this, somebody says, why won't God save my father? Why won't God save my mother? Why won't God save my son or my daughter or anybody else? The preparation of the heart in man,
yeah,
and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So in being a little bit impatient, I started fasting and praying my father. And I got impatient. I said, Lord, I don't want my dad to be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved.
Uh-huh.
Now that's my mind, not the mind of Christ. And even though it wasn't nothing wrong to have that kind of thought, because I didn't want my dad to go to hell, God had another plan in mind other than mine.
Yeah.
So I never let up. I'm still praying, fasting my dad, and I got a phone call from my dad. And the phone call was kind of unusual. He called me up. He said, you praying for me? I said, yes, Dad, you know I'm praying for you. And he said, well, I want you to stop. And I said, Dad, why do you want me to stop praying for you? And it got a little quiet on the other end, a few crickets. And I heard my dad say, I can't eat and I can't sleep. I want you to quit praying for me.
Amen.
And I was kind of glad to hear that. Because that was exactly what I had prayed. And even though it was in ignorance, it was sincere ignorance, I didn't realize that some people, it takes them a long time to get saved. Some people seem like they get saved at just a whisper of the gospel. And others, boy, I tell you what, they drown in it before they get saved. Well, anyway, I didn't let up on my dad. And I told him, I said, Dad, let me ask you something. I said, if it was the other way around, and you were saved, and I was lost, and I called you up and asked you to quit praying for me, I said, Dad, would you quit praying for me? And on the other end of the phone, I heard my father weep for the first time. I was 34 years old. I'd never heard my dad weep before. Through a lamentable voice, my father said, no, but take it easy on me. I ain't ready yet. I didn't take it easy on him. I never let up one iota. But 10 years later, 3 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call, and it was my dad, And he said, I just called to tell you I got saved. And I thought I dreamed it. I remember he called me at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, I just got saved. I said, that's good, Dad. I see you. I went back to sleep. And I woke up the next morning. I thought, did I dream that or was that real? So I called him up. And sure enough, he got saved, gave me his testimony, and it was wonderful. But it's the Lord that had to do it.
Right.
I mean, Jonah, he said, salvation is of the Lord. No church can save no one. No preacher can save no one. Only Jesus can save a lost soul.
Right.
Paul said, of a truth, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Saul, before he became Paul, said, of whom I am chief. And Jesus can save the chiefest of sinners.
Yes.
All that's on this one verse here. The preparations of the heart and man. Don't let up, beloved. If you've got a lost family member,
amen,
stand in the gap. Make intercession. Don't raise up a white flag. I mean, go to war. The devil's got a hold on them. Pray that that bondage be broke. Pray that them drugs be broke.
Yeah.
That drink be broke. That pornography or that whatever perverted thing that's got them, pray that that yoke be broke. And the captive may be set free. The preparation of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
Yes.
Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Boy, ain't that true?
Yes, it is.
I looked in my own mirror for 34 years. That's back forth bald-headed. But in my own mirror, I didn't see nothing wrong with me. I was as good as everybody else
right.
was. In my own eyes, I thought, if they're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. In my own eyes, I had my own righteous indignation. I looked down on people. I thought I was above some. I thought maybe I was equal with some. But I thought if anybody's going to heaven, I am. I had done good. I tried to clean out up a little bit. Well, let me just say this about every man is clean in his own eyes. This is a pretty good verse right here. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you how clean you'll have to be accepted by God. You'll have to walk right up alongside Jesus Christ and say, I'm just as clean as He is.
Yeah.
I'm just as righteous as He is. I'm just as good as He is. And beloved, we can't do that. That's why the Bible said we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Therefore, Jesus had to die for all, give His life a ransom for all, so that we could obtain the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, so that not our eyes, but in God's eyes, we could be accepted in the beloved.
That's right.
That's what salvation's all about.
Yeah.
I couldn't measure up. But He measured me up.
Yes, He did.
To the stature
Amen.
Of righteousness
right.
that God is required of all to have. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth upon them. It's simple.
Yes,
did
yes.
Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the first part of this verse will be taken care of. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I just don't see it. I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
I don't do this. I don't do that. It don't matter if he didn't do anything. The Bible said we come out of the womb speaking lies.
Amen. That's right.
Boy, you think I got a congregation here. My deacon, he's sounding off this morning. I remember hearing about a farmer that had a pond. And the frogs on the pond kept him awake, and he told his wife, he said, I'm going to drain that pond. I'm getting tired of them frogs keeping me awake at night. He drained that pond. There was one frog in that pond. And that's what we need to be, just like that, sounding off. So they'll think there's a million frogs in the pond. Even though there might not be but one, we need to sound like we got more than one. Amen.
Yes, amen.
In James chapter number 1, the Bible says, verse 25, well, wait a minute, verse 23, if any man be a doer of the word If any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And lots of times we do look at ourselves.
Yes, we do.
Now, I put me on a tie this morning. I took me a bath. I shaved, cut my chin, brushed my teeth. I put me on a suit this morning. Why preachers wear business suits, Brother Eddie? Well, Jesus, at the age of 12 years old, told his mother and father, "Know ye not I must be about my Father's business?" Right. And God's men are businessmen. Amen. They're about the right. business of God. And I tell you what, I want to somehow look the part. I want to somehow be, somebody might take note that I've been with Jesus, be believable. But all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's what the problem is, see?
Yes, amen.
Men, they take too much time to look at themselves and too little time to look at Calvary. They take too much time to look upon themselves, kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. Did I not make all this Babylon? And the angel said unto thee, it's spoken. And he, next thing he knows, he's eating grass. He's out there, buddy. His hair is growing. His nails are growing. And when he finally got his mind back, he got in line and he said, "Hey, the Most High rules in the affairs of men."
Amen.
I'm going to say Nebuchadnezzar was about as high as you can get down on this earth.
Mm.
And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he went on to say, those that walk in pride, God is able to abase.
Yes.
All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. You know, religion tries to make man look good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, religion can make a man look good. Only thing is, it's full of dead man's bones.
That's right.
Salvation will make a man look good.
Yes, amen.
On the outside and on the inside.
Right.
I'm not going to say he ain't going to mess up. I'm just going to say this, when he messes up, he's going to say, "I'm sorry."
Yes, amen.
I remember when I got saved, I messed up a lot. It took me a long time to mature in the Lord. It took me a long time to get that man of the world out, the mind of the world out. I remember working on a machine one day, had all my men right there by me. I had a 6-man crew, and then all of a sudden they're watching me work on this piece of junk called Press 516, and it wasn't cooperating. I hit it with a hammer, and I took God's name in vain. And I'll tell you what, just as soon as I did that, my heart smote me. I dropped that hammer. I expected those men to laugh me to scorn. Those men had more respect for me after that day than ever before. They knew I had something that was real.
Amen. That's
God good. Help us to be real.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Boy, I thank God my heart smote me. I hated to have done that, not had any effect.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, the Bible said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth as becoming saints." I didn't aim to say that.
No.
It wasn't like I said, "I'm going to take the Lord's name in vain." It just rolled off my tongue. But when it did, buddy, I'll tell you what, I didn't enjoy it. I was ashamed. I'll tell you, if those guys had laughed me to scorn, I took it. I took whatever. But those men, every one of them come to me and opened up to me. Most of them got saved. Most of them rededicated their lives and got right with God. One of them, a profound atheist. His father raised him being an atheist. And to this day, he's still an atheist. He come to me and said, "Hey, I want so much to be saved." But he said, "I just can't believe."
You know, Brother Eddie, that's why we have to pray without ceasing, because the old man will come out of us if we ain't real careful.
Well, I'm just glad that new man let me know that I've done something
wrong. That's right.
And I thank God for that incident. That incident let me know that it's different.
Right.
See, whom the Lord loves, He chastens.
Amen.
And if He don't chasten, we're not His.
That's right.
And boy,
amen.
I tell you what, I thank God for that heart
praise
smoke that day.
Amen, that's right.
But all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. See, we got this self-righteousness. Two men went to the temple to pray. One said, "I'm glad I'm not like other men. I pay my tithes.
Yeah.
I fast. And I'm not like this other guy over here, you know, this publican over here." And that publican wouldn't even look up. just smote his breast, said, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, two distinct differences. One acknowledged, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And other, oh, he was a saint.
Yeah.
And Jesus rebuked that one that thought he was a saint. He said that other went to his house justified.
Yeah.
All the ways of a man. You know what? You can't sit in the preaching of the Word of God. If you're not right with God, you can't sit in the preaching of the Word of God and feel comfortable. Somebody said,
right.
Help me to find a church that I can feel comfortable in. Find one you don't feel comfortable in.
Amen.
Get
That's
right with
right.
God, and you'll right. be like old brother Eddie. You'll say, Amen, Lord God.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's well with my soul. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I tell you, I got it fixed. The psalmist said, my heart's fixed. I got my heart fixed. If you rock my boat, glory to God, I'll take it.
Amen.
For if you're the wise man,
yeah.
He'll thank you for it. But I'll tell you what, if old brother Eddie rocks your boat, don't blame old brother Eddie. I'll tell you what, just get in touch with God and say, hey, I need some help down here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it's more like preaching and teaching.
That's okay.
All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You know, America's got this problem.
Yeah.
I was watching the news this morning, and every comment was about the Lord. And they're talking about how we need to seek the Lord. They even got Franklin Graham on there.
Yes, I see that.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you see that one woman divert the attention over that dog? You see, all of them ain't of the same mind. I ain't got nothing against her, but this ain't time to be seeking the affection of a dog.
No.
This is time to be seeking the Lord.
That's right.
I got a feeling, boy, this thing's all over with. There's going to be a lot of people seeking the Lord. You're not going to find what you need out of the affection of a dog. I know they say a man's best friend is a dog, and I'm not going to argue that. I've got two in the house, ain't mine, but they might as well be. They think I hung the moon.
Yeah.
They look at me like a cheeseburger, run me down every time I'm eating, and how true it is, a dog's eating the crumbs that fall on their master's table. But I want you to know, as much as those dogs love me, as much as those dogs lick me, those dogs can't save me from hell. But I want you to know there's one that loved me. There's one gave himself for me. There's one went the extra mile on my behalf.
Amen.
There's one hanging on a cross, beat beyond recognition. That prayed a prayer that says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Ephesians 4:32 says, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us.
Amen.
On the merits of Christ.
Yeah.
I tell you, I found mercy. Amen. I tell you, mercy ain't... Mercy ain't something we need to ignore, boy.
Well,
I tell you, mercy is something we need more of. Amen. I try to be merciful. I gave a woman a $20 bill this week as I was getting some gas, and a woman that owned the filling station come out to me. She said, you shouldn't have gave that woman that $20. I said, it was mine to give.
Yeah, that's right.
She said, she's just going to waste it. And I said, that might be true, lady. But the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you.
That's right.
Good measure. Pressed down. Running over. You know, I saw this woman getting something for her children. She was paying for it with change. I wasn't trying to be nosy. I said, ma'am, you got any money? She said, no, I don't. I took out a $20 bill and gave it to her. I said, you do now.
Yeah.
And I left, went there and pumped my gas. And like I said, the owner, and I ain't got nothing against the owner of that Shell station come out there and she said, I appreciate you being willing to give it, but you should have gave it to someone better than her. She's just going to waste it. I said, it's hers. She can do whatever she wants to with it. I didn't go in and ask for it back. I told the Lord, I done what I could.
Amen.
I gave because I wanted to give. I gave because I had to give. And I thank the Lord to have an opportunity to give. Amen.
Right. Amen. That's it.
America could use a good dose of this. I'm not going to get too far in this Sunday school lesson this morning.
Okay.
But in America, and I thank God for America, and I want to say this as clear as I can say it. Thank God for the rich people of America.
Yes.
I couldn't even have a job if it wasn't for rich people in America.
Right.
God has blessed America. It's a very prosperous nation. I don't put anyone down for being rich in America.
No.
But I'm sitting there thinking, how much is enough? And I just just throw this out there because it's the only one I can think of. Michael Bloomberg has $60 billion. One man can't spend that much in a lifetime.
Amen, that's right.
And he's got $60 billion. I'm happy for him. I ain't got anything whatsoever negative to say. But wouldn't it be great if Michael Bloomberg said, I've got $60 billion, and if you got a true need, here's my number. Call me up, and I will be willing to help you in all that's in my means to do. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people's got money, and some people, money has them.
Amen.
I'd rather be in a federal prison than be in a financial prison any day of the week. Amen.
That's right.
Speaking of prisons, with all this coronavirus fears going on, they're letting convicts out of prisons right now.
Yes.
People on death row are being let out. Murderers, rapists, robbers, all kind of criminals that are behind bars for fear of spread of the coronavirus, trying to accommodate the new laws that so many people are only allowed to get together, and the population of the prison exceeds that number, so they think this is man. So man thinks, hey, I'll turn all the prisoners loose. Man, I'd as soon have them on the other side if it's me.
Yes.
But maybe some good will come out of it. I'll let the Lord be the judge on that. Maybe they'll get out and say, hey, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to tell people what I found in prison. Hey, I found it the hard way, but I found it. I don't know. But I'll tell you, man's in panic right now. And a lot of things they're doing, I don't think it's going to help a thing.
No.
This thing runs its course. I believe it's going to leave a terrible trail. I believe it's going to leave a tail of death. It's going to cause a lot of people to start looking for refuge for their soul.
Amen.
All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You see, I can hide from Brother Ed my secret sins.
Mm-hmm.
I can hide from my wife my secret sins.
Right.
I can hide my fellow co-workers my secret sins, but I can't hide from God any sin.
Amen, that's right.
God knows my down setting, my uprising. He knows my thoughts are far off. What to do with sin, Brother Ed? I'll tell you exactly what to do with sin. Confess it.
That's it.
And forsake it.
Right.
Or pay the consequences of it. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Ain't nothing good about sin.
No.
I know men have become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I know they're paying big money to be able to play around with sin. And it's like playing with a rattlesnake. And somehow, some of them don't get bit. But I tell you what, sooner or later, they all get bit.
Right.
But they're playing with fire. And the Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned?
No.
I'm telling you, ain't nothing funny about sin.
That's
amen.
Right, amen.
The Lord weigheth the spirits. The Bible said God's greater than our heart, knows all things. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we do those things that's pleasing in His sight.
Right.
Boy, you can get a lot of prayers through if you can live a life.
Amen.
You know, you may struggle with sin. I'll tell you, have victory over it. Just say, God, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I want to be forgiven.
That's right.
I want to be cleansed. I want you to help me.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you're supposed to start out each day, Lord, deliver me today from evil temptation. You ought to start out with a prayer of deliverance from temptation.
Yeah.
You ought to put on the armor of God that you might be able to war good warfare, especially having that shield of faith, able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're under attack, and it ain't the coronavirus that's causing the casualties. It's sin.
Amen. That's the truth.
Lord, I gotta get out. I gotta get back to teaching. It's more like preaching.
Blessing God.
All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, it's not in man to direct his ways.
No.
It's not like I can do right. It's not like that I can think right.
No.
It's not like that I can do anything right. I need the Lord's help.
Amen.
And the Bible said in Psalms 46 verse 1 that the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is a time of trouble.
That's right.
If people, my wife has spent $300 this week trying to somehow find a miracle cure for her severe sinus infection. She's got a ringing in her ears. She's got her sinuses draining out the front of her nose to the back of her throat. I've been to Bowling Green yesterday to get some kind of mask to put on to steam it out. I went to pharmaceutical places. I bought everything they had, and all of it's to no avail. I told her, I said, this is just going to have to run its course. It's going to take a while. And she wants it like that. Well, God can do it like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, He can.
Man, vain is the help of man. I don't think she's prayed about it. That's up to her. I pray for her.
Yes.
But can you imagine my wife saying, Lord, I've had enough.
Yeah.
If you would you please take this away from me? See, a woman went to see a doctor. And the doctor examined her and called her in his office. And the doctor said, ma'am, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. We've tried every pill, every procedure known to man. I only know one other thing to try. And she said, what is it, doctor? What is it? He said, I think we just need to pray about it. She said, oh my God, has it come to that?
Uh-huh.
But you see, that seemed like that's the last option.
Yeah.
That seemed like that's the most worthless, useless, last thing people will do is pray about something. Can you imagine the first thing we did? And we sought the Lord and said, Lord, is it your will that my sinuses are running? Is it your will that I maybe receive this coronavirus or come down with it or be consumed by it? I tell you what, Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
He submitted himself and surrendered himself completely into the will of God. We're no better. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Look over here in Proverbs. I'm sorry. I'm in Proverbs. Look over here in Isaiah 26. Verse 3 says, talking about God, thou, God, will keep him, you, me, or anybody else.
That's right.
Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see that verse there says?
Yeah.
Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Look over here in Acts 17. I deal with a bunch of atheists on the internet. I know I'm wasting my time. But you know what? If I could just get through one of them's thick head, and I do believe I have, because one of them said he's going to get one of these books, Voices from the Edge of Eternity. In Acts 17, verse 28, talking about God, for in Him we live and move and have our being.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, we have our sanity because of God.
That's right.
Let me see why I wrote this down in Romans 11, 36. For some reason that I wrote that down. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So I guess they do kind of go together. But all and thy thoughts shall be established. I quoted over here, I think it may have been Sunday 4 last, Proverbs 24, verse 11, I believe it is, that if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. And you know, this is a time of trouble. It's a time when many people are... No, it's actually Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. A lot of people are falling through the cracks. A lot of people are worried right now. Like I said, most of the conversation on Fox News this morning wasn't on the coronavirus. It was on the Lord. It was talking about how this is a time that people need to set their house in order. This is a time that people need to seek and make sure that they're ready to go. It's a time to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call up on Him while He's near. And I thank God for that program this morning.
Yes.
Now don't get me wrong, you can get some comfort from a dog, but I'll tell you right now, it's not the kind of comfort you can get from God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the kind, you know what God spelled backwards is? Dog.
That's right.
And it's not the kind of comfort that you can get from God, nor is it the kind of comfort you can get from the Word of God. In Romans chapter 15, it says in verse 4, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'll tell you right now, you can get a lot of help from God. You can get a lot of hope from God.
Yeah.
But commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
That's right.
Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself. You see, people stumble at that. We evolved. Big bang. You know, it's going to end in a big bang.
Yeah, that's right.
But it didn't start with a big bang. You know, scientists, they can make a few things. But they can't make anything without having something to make something of.
Right.
God took nothing and made everything.
Everything, that's right.
He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Everything God said, it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they stumbled at that. They want to somehow take credit from God and say they had something to do with creation. But the Lord have made all things for Himself. I'm not going to throw that verse in here at this time, but I will preach it today. I believe it's in Acts 15, I believe. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. I believe it's Acts 15, verse 17. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. And, you know, God don't need the help of man. Man needs the help of God.
Yes, that's right.
And man just, they might get it on a slow train, but they are going to get it. Amen. This coronavirus didn't take God by surprise. I don't know that much about the coronavirus. I know a lot about God. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has made all things for Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. That sounds kind of strange, don't it? Jesus said in John chapter 6, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?
Yeah.
You see, Jesus had to be betrayed. Jesus had to be crucified. Jesus had to die for the sins of the world. That couldn't happen without evil.
That's right.
The Bible said if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil, it was hid from them. One reason I think we've got so much abortion today is the devil's still afraid that Jesus might be born again into this world as a babe. And like Herod tried to kill the baby Jesus, and God intervened and told Joseph in a dream, take the young child and the mother down to Egypt. And he did. And then he told him to bring him back, for he just thought his life is dead.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, God, nothing takes God by surprise. It kind of caught Joseph off guard.
Mm-hmm.
It may have caught Mary off guard. But God had already said that a virgin would conceive.
Yeah.
Not a young maiden. Young women have babies all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I believe that's Isaiah 7:14.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to read that because I'm going to go a little further than that. I just felt that in my heart just now. I'm going to go a hair further than that. We may not get too far today, Brother Ed.
That's okay. There's a lot in these few verses.
There sure is. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself mm-hmm. shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Yes.
Now, let's jump real quick over Genesis real quick and put this where it needs to be. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham, he's got a miracle son named Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's past with Sarah as become a woman. It's impossible for her to have a child.
Right.
It's past with Abraham. I mean, Sarah's 90, I think she's 99 years old. And Abraham, I think he may be 100. But it's past. She can't have children. And God's promised him a promised son. They're going up a hill, Mount Moriah. And as they start up this hill, Abraham tells his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go up, will go yonder and worship." I'm in Genesis 22, verse number 5. "And will come again to you." God had already told Abraham to take Isaac up on Mount Moriah and offer him a sacrifice there for me.
That's right.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide what? Himself."
That's right.
Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it. God provided himself. Did you hear what I read there in Isaiah 7, verse 14? "The Lord himself shall give you a sign."
Yes.
Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb."
Yeah, that's right.
John Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." There's just a whole lot more of this Bible people ever comprehend.
Yes, Lord.
"The Lord had made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil." The Bible said that Abraham had enough faith that he believed that even Isaac, God raised him from the dead. Mm-hmm. That's why he took a knife. He had faith to believe God that no matter what, he may not have understood it. But I'll tell you what, in prophetic terms, he said, "God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice." That tells me that he was, "Lord, I know you're going to do something. I may not understand it. I just know you're going to do something." God did do something. He stopped Abraham killing his son. And he opened up the eyes of Abraham, and he saw over there a lamb in the thicket with his horns thrown in the horns hung in the thicket, and took him and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means "the Lord will provide." And God did provide.
Yeah.
And God provided for us a lamb. Christ, our Passover lamb, was crucified for us. But this verse says, "Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." Let me show you something here. Good Lord, we ain't got much more time there. In Isaiah 45, verse 7. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we'll read verse 6. I keep wanting to back up. I'm going to read Isaiah 45, verse 5. "I am the Lord, there's none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." That means I made you, though you had not known me. "That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there's none else. That there's none besides me. I am the Lord. There's none else." Verse 7. "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." God created the devil.
Yes.
And the devil betrayed. The devil entered into Judas, and Judas betrayed the Lord. The Bible says this about the devil. In Ezekiel 28. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." The devil's a created being.
Yeah.
Jesus said this about the devil. "I beheld Satan as lightning fall down to this earth." I just want you to know, the Lord had made all things for himself. "Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." It was a sad day when Jesus was crucified, and yet it was in the mind of God, in the plan of God, in the will of God. I want you to know, on that cross, he finished the work of God.
Yes, he did.
Verse 5, we'll probably have to stop after this verse. Well, no, we don't really have nobody here. I'm still going to try to lead a song. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. I told you that gay pride march.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're proud in their heart. They strut their stuff. They put on all of that abominable garbage or whatever garments on. And they go down there with their feathers. They go down there with their colors. They go down there with their filth and march up down the streets, gay pride week. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
Notice the latter part of this verse. Though hand, joint in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I'll tell you right now, but it's going to be a price for marching down the streets in pride.
Yeah.
Oh, but the polls say everybody's okay with it. How about God? How's he feel about it? Put him in the poll. You know, one plus God is a majority.
Uh-huh.
That's all I need. All I need is the Lord.
That's it.
And having the Lord, I'll tell you right now, I'm not at a loss. I'm at a plus. I'm a majority just having the Lord. One plus the Lord shall chase a thousand away. Amen. On Mount Carmel, here's one prophet of God. His name is Elijah. 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of the groves, 850 false prophets withstood one real prophet. And they went over there and put on their big show and they hollered and cried to Baal, "Oh Baal, hear us." And it's about lunchtime and Elijah's getting a little bored. He said, "Well, cry aloud. He might be asleep or something." And they took knives and cut their sails. And you know, I don't really put them down. They were sincere. They were just sincere and wrong. Baal had probably answered them before. All this had worked before. And now Baal's silent. And all this ain't working.
Right.
And here they are now being put to an open shame. Everybody might know and see that there are false prophets. Now Baal ain't answering. And one real prophet come up there when they got done. All the blood gushing. And all the crying and praying. And all the rituals they put forth there. He come up there and said, "Tell you what, boys, just give me a minute, repair the altar." And he put the sacrifice on it. And he said, "Dig a trench around it." And he said, "Pour water in. Pour it in again. Pour it in again." And the water's running over the sacrifice. And the water's filled up the trench and running down the hill. And he gets down and prays a little short prayer. And he said, "Lord, would you please show these people while I'm here, and would you show yourself to be God?"
Yeah.
And fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the water, and all the people took note and said, "The Lord, He's God, and beside Him there is none else."
Yeah.
And that one prophet said, "Get that 850 and meet me down here at the Brook Kid Run."
Yeah.
And he killed every one of them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, buddy, one with God is a majority. I think it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. See, the 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 18. But I'll tell you right now, I believe it's 1 Kings 18. One plus God is a majority.
Yeah.
I don't pay a lot of attention to the polls. I know a lot of people are somehow maybe persuaded because of the poll numbers. Maybe it affects how they vote. Maybe it affects where they go to church at. Maybe it affects what kind of clothes they wear. Maybe it affects how they talk. Maybe it affects where they live. I'll just tell you right now, buddy. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
That's right.
The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We'll stop right there on that pole right there. And we'll pick back up in verse number 6. Verse number 6, that's the number of man. Verse number 5, that's the number of judgment.
Yeah.
Ain't that something, that verse talking about judgment right there?
Yeah.
He shall not be unpunished. I'm glad, praise God, that there was a hand nailed to a cross.
Yes.
And another hand nailed to a cross. 2 feet nailed to a cross with a crown of thorns on. I'm glad, praise God, one made a petition for me on my behalf.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. And And I honestly apologize to you, Lord. More spirit up here than this little preacher could handle. And this teaching went on the borderline of preaching. But Lord, I pray, God, that people that hear this lesson today, I pray they'll apply their hearts to wisdom. I pray, Father God, they'll put their nose in the book. I pray they'll get their feet in the house of God. I pray, Lord, they'll make sure they're ready to go. And I thank you, Father, for having that blessed assurance, knowing my soul, that I'm ready to go. And Lord, I'm looking to leave out. If it be today, I'd be glad to say hallelujah going home. Yeah. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
I'm going to get you a